From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Here is the news read by Putri. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo calls for revitalization of facilities for G20 summit. And Vice President Ma'ruf Amin asks BPKH to devise Hajj fund investment strategy. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has asked the Ministry of the Public Works and Public Housing (PUPR) to renovate the Garuda Wisnu Kencana GWK Cultural Park in Badung District, Bali Province, to welcome the G20 Summit delegates in November 2022. As reported by Antara, the President inspected the cultural park on Friday, March 25th. After accompanying the President for the review, Director General of Human Settlements at the Ministry, Diana Kusumastuti, said that President Joko Widodo has given a number of directives regarding the plan for holding a dinner for G20 summit delegates at the cultural park. Diana Kusumastuti also informed that the government has been assigned to make the entrance area more spacious to facilitate the heads of states to walk from the drop-off vehicles to the dinner location and back to the vehicles later. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin has asked the Hajj Fund Management Agency BPKH to develop a pilgrimage fund investment strategy and conduct a thorough study of safe, sustainable, and beneficial investment options. As reported by Antara, speaking at the BPKH 2022 Global Islamic Investment Forum GIIF Gala Dinner online on Friday, March 25th, VP Ma'ruf Amin stated that an investment strategy for Hajj funds is required so that the fund can provide sustainable benefits for both Hajj pilgrims and the general community. He has also stated that BPKH needs to study thoroughly and provide options for Hajj investment instruments which can truly improve the quality of the implementation of the pilgrimage. Deputy Speaker of the People's Consultative Assembly, Lestari Murdiat, urged stakeholders at the central and regional levels to seriously respond to the President's set target of reducing the stunting rate to 14% by 2024. As quoted by Antara through a statement on Friday, March 25th, Murdiat emphasized that this commitment has to be demonstrated through a measured action plan and realization stage by stakeholders. Thereby, the target can be realized according to plan. She also remarked that the stunting rate reduction target tends to be planned, but without well-measured planning, the target will only be numbers alone. Now we move to the international news. Indonesia and the Philippines agreed to bolster counter-terrorism cooperation through intelligence sharing for handling terrorism at bilateral, regional, and international levels. The COVID-19 pandemic has driven countries to strengthen their borders, thereby reducing terrorist attacks and operations in most parts of the world. This was affirmed by head of the National Counter-Terrorism Agency (BNPT), Commissioner General Boy Rafli Amar, in a statement on Friday, March 25th, as reported by Antara. He also emphasized that despite the country's efforts to strengthen their borders as a precautionary measure to tackle terror attacks, it should not be misconstrued that the threats of terrorist groups are stopped. Britain on Saturday stated that it would fund £2 million or $2.6 million worth of vital food supplies for areas of Ukraine which are encircled by Russian forces following a direct request from the Ukrainian government. As reported by Reuters.com, March 26th, just over a month after Moscow invaded Ukraine in what it describes as a special military operation, Russian troops have failed to capture any major Ukrainian cities and have resorted to pounding them with artillery and airstrikes. Worst hit has been the eastern port of Mariupol, a city of 4,000 under siege since the war's early days. Tens of thousands of people are still believed to be trapped inside with no access to food, power, or heating. Britain also said around 25 truckloads of dried food, tinned goods, and water will be transported by road and rail from warehouses in Poland and Slovakia to the most at-risk Ukrainian towns and cities. The United States stated on Friday, March 25th, that it would push United Nations sanctions on North Korea to be strengthened over increasingly dangerous provocations, but China and Russia signaled opposition and instead argued for such measures to be eased. As reported by Reuters.com, March 26th, North Korea has been subjected to UN sanctions since 2006, which the UN Security Council has steadily stepped up over the years in a bid to cut off funding for Pyongyang's nuclear weapons and ballistic missile programs. But the hermit Asian state has successfully worked to evade some UN sanctions, according to independent UN sanctions monitors, who reported last month that North Korean cyber attacks on cryptocurrency exchanges were an important revenue source, earning Pyongyang hundreds of millions of dollars. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The first news comes from East Flores, East Nusa Tenggara. Larantuka Diocese in East Flores Regency, East Nusa Tenggara decided to cancel religious celebrations of Semana Santa procession welcoming Easter 2022. This is due to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. Bishop Franciscus Kopongkung, PR of Larantuka in Larantuka Diocese's letter received by Antara in Kupang on Thursday, March 24th, said that the Semana Santa celebration has indeed not been held for three consecutive years since 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic. However, the celebration of the Holy Week of Easter liturgy in the church is still held as usual, while still implementing strict health protocols such as wearing a mask, washing hands with soap and running water, or with a hand sanitizer. Meanwhile, the number of parishioners is also limited to 50% of the seating capacity in the church and the application of a seating distance of about 1 meter. The next news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. Performers of Makassar Arts and Culture in South Sulawesi, who are members of the Kala Theater, will hold a theater performance to educate the public on the importance of maintaining maternal mental health. Performance director and scriptwriter Nurul Inayah said in Makassar on Thursday, March 24th, that the postpartum performance attempt to convey stories of postpartum mothers which are still considered taboo. The story was taken from various interviews of respondents. The postpartum theater performance was held from March 25th to 27th, 2022 at the South Sulawesi Arts Building Society De Harmony in Makassar, and a virtual show will be aired in April 2022. There will also be a discussion and a campaign movement on the last day of the show so that postpartum stories become more familiar to the public. The last news comes from Banda Aceh, Aceh Province. The Aceh Culture and Tourism Office held the Kuta Raja Kafe Festival to welcome the arrival of thousands of doctors throughout Indonesia to Aceh for the 31st Congress of the Indonesian Doctors Association or ED in Banda Aceh. Head of the agency's marketing division, Hendra Faisal, said in Banda Aceh on Wednesday, March 23rd, that the 31st ED Congress was attended by more than 2,000 participants. The Kuta Raja Kafe Festival 2022 was held at the Banda Aceh Cultural Park for 3 days from 23rd to 25th of March. There were 25 kafe stands at this festival from various regions in Aceh. And listener, that was the news from across Indonesia.
Let's begin today in history on March 26, 1971, when Bangladesh separates itself. In 1947, Pakistan separated itself from India. However, the discriminative policy by the central government in Islamabad against Bangla ethnicity, which was 98% of the population in East Pakistan, caused a public dissatisfaction. Following great-scale political turmoil, East Pakistan separated itself from Pakistan and declared their independence on March 26, 1971, with the name Bangladesh. Let's move in on to March 26, 1979, when Egypt and Israel peace treaty was signed. On March 26, 1979, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin signed a peace treaty in Washington, D.C. after the Camp David Accords in 1978. This treaty brought controversy. Arabic countries, especially Palestine, condemned it and saw the treaty as an act of betrayal. However, President Anwar Sadat and Prime Minister Menachem Begin still receive a Nobel Peace Prize for the treaty. Anwar Sadat became unpopular in Arabic countries and in his own country. That continued until his assassination on October 6, 1981. Last passed on March 26, 1989, the first and last democratic election in Soviet Union occurred. On March 26, 1989, the Soviet Union held an election. It was the first time for the Soviet people to vote openly. Previously, under the communist regime, elections were done by certain people only. Around 120 million Soviet people voted for the candidates aside from the incumbent from the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. Some 1,500 positions were filled by new faces. After the election, the government was led by Mikhail Gorbachev, while Boris Yeltsin became the parliament leader. 2 years later, Gorbachev resigned and the Soviet Union dissolved and changed its name into the Russian Federation. That was today in history.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen.Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Perjalanan membawamu bertemu denganku, ku bertemu kamu. Sepertimu yang ku cari, konon aku juga seperti yang kau cari. Ku kira kita asam dan garam.Dan kita bertemu di belanga, kisah yang ternyata tak seindah itu. Kukira kita akan bersama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendalaKu jadi kita Kasih sayangmu membekas Redam kini sudah Pijar istimewa Entah apa maksud dunia Tentang ujung cerita Kita tak bersamaSemoga rindu ini menghilang Konon katanya waktu sembuhkan Akan ada
sama, begitu banyak yang sama, latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kau melanjutkan perjalananmu, ku melanjutkan perjalananku. Kukira kita akan bersama, sama latarmu dan latarku. Kukira takkan ada kendala, kukira ini kan mudah, kau aku jadi kita. Kukira kita akan bersama.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesian highlights Ambassador Arif Hawass Ugroseno invites hundreds of German travel agents to promote Indonesia. Indonesian Ambassador to Germany Arif Hawass Ugroseno invited hundreds of travel agents in Germany to start promoting tourism attractions in Bali. Information from the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin on Thursday, March 24th, said that Ambassador Hawass Ugroseno made the invitation when he was a resource person at a webinar entitled A View Closer, Tourism Recovery Around the World, organized by the Travel Industry Club, the leading tourism network in Germany. The Travel Industry Club consists of travel agents and operators, as well as public figures and German media. Ambassador Hawass Ugroseno in his presentation conveyed Indonesia's readiness to return to accepting foreign tourists via Bali, Bintan, and Batam. He also explained the latest immigration regulations on March 21, 2022. Indonesia reimposed visas on arrival for passport holders from 42 countries who have been vaccinated against COVID-19 to enter Indonesia via Bali. The majority of those 42 countries are European countries, including Germany, and all of them have had high vaccination rates. According to Ambassador Hawass Ugroseno, the recovery of the tourism sector is an encouraging development considering the enthusiasm of the people in Germany to return to vacation abroad after the COVID-19 pandemic, which started in 2020. He also explained that every day, the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin receives requests for information from German citizens who want to enjoy vacation in Indonesia, especially Bali. The ambassador also explained that at the moment, the German people who wish to have a vacation to Bali must have been fully vaccinated or have received a booster dose. They need to have a negative PCR test result that was sampled a maximum of 48 hours before departure, and they have international health insurance which includes handling COVID-19. In addition, foreign tourists who visit Bali must also pay an arrival visa fee, have proof of booking a place to stay in Bali for 4 days, and get at least 2 PCR tests while in Indonesia, namely on arrival and on the 4th day. The Indonesian Embassy in Berlin, along with other Indonesian representatives in Germany, will carry out an active campaign to promote the It's Time for Bali program throughout Germany. The campaign begins by installing promotional posters on outdoor media, buses, and trains starting March 2022 to welcome the summer holiday season, which will last from June to August 2022. In addition, the Indonesian Embassy in Berlin will also carry out promotional activities through webinars, bulletins, online and radio advertisements, and trade events. And listener, that's my Indonesia for today.
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, Mount Kapur Klapa Nunggal is a limestone hill area in Cilengsi, Bogor, West Java. The traces of excavation in the place have resulted in the walls hill standing upright. Now the hill looks like a canyon on the bank of a river. The limestone cliffs with various sizes seem to be the newest attraction. The mountain, which is the rest of the limestone mining activity amid a stretch of wheat grass, looks arid, but now it has become a tourism attraction with exotic views, and it makes the place a unique tourism destination for tourists who are looking for an unusual holiday destination. Listener, apart from the landscape, Mount Kapur Klapa Nunggal has a number of interesting natural spots. There are rock climbing, unique rocks, caves, and natural waterfalls. The waterfall called Curug Pemalu is not an artificial one, but a waterfall which drains natural groundwater. In spite of having a lot of lime content, it is quite refreshing. On another side of Mount Klapa Nunggal limestone, there is a unique hill because it resembles a hand holding a thumbs up. Therefore, this hill is called Batu, Jempol. Meanwhile, the cliff called Arpam Cliff is a favorite place for lovers of climbing. Mount Batu Klapa Nunggal, which is located precisely in Klapa Nunggal Village, Klapa Nunggal Subdistrict, Bogor Regency, provides quite complete facilities such as parking areas, toilets, prayer rooms, and a number of stalls. There is also a gazebo at some spots of the area. Visitors should use motorbikes to reach the tourism destination because there are still lots of holes in the road heading for the location. They are also recommended not to come during the rainy season due to muddy roads and the scenery is less exotic. If you are in Jakarta, you can take your time to visit Bogor and the tourist attractions of Mount Batu Klapa Nunggal. Apart from enjoying exotic rock mountains, visitors can take selfies photos in Instagrammable places. Moreover, for hunters of the sunrise and sunset, they can see the beautiful scenery at this tourism spot. Well, listener, keep listening to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World.
Jadikanlah untukku
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Listener, tempe is one of the Indonesia's cultural heritages in the culinary field that has been worldwide. However, if so far the tempe as we know has been made from soybeans, an innovation has been carried out by a group of students from Yogyakarta State University, UNSRI, and ITS. These bright students make tempe made from rubber seeds, which has been known as a traditional toy for children in Indonesia. The group consists of several students, namely Tegar Ristianto, Alifah Nur Akrimah, Aji Nur Wijaksono, Mangara Klose Siahaan, Gulfi Oktariani, and Nadia Luciana, some of whom also come from other universities, namely ITS and UNSRI. Just like how to make tempeh from soybeans, in the process of making tempeh, the rubber seeds are first washed and the skin is removed. Then it is soaked for 24 hours and pulled for 90 minutes to remove the cyanide content in it. After the rubber seeds have been pulled and cooled, the leaves that appear in the cooling process after being pulled in the seeds are removed. Furthermore, the rubber seeds need to be soaked again for 3 times 24 hours, then they are washed again and steamed for 30 minutes. After the boiling and washing process, the rubber seeds are spread evenly into a white container and allowed to dry until there is completely no more water content in it. After drying, the tempeh yeast is sprinkled and packaged in banana leaves or plastic like tempeh in general. Tempeh from rubber seeds is claimed to have advantages when compared to tempeh made from soybean. Rubber seeds are said to have a high content of vegetable oil and unsaturated fatty acids so that they are appropriate to use as raw ingredients for making healthy foods. In addition, there are also a number of other ingredients that are good for the body, including 31.6% carbohydrates, 15.6% protein, and 40.9% fat. This content makes tempeh from rubber seeds possess more protein content than soybeans. Besides being affordable, rubber seed tempeh also contains unsaturated fatty acids in the form of omega-3 and omega-6, which are very necessary for brain development in children. In addition, the most important thing about this student's tempeh innovation is that it has a softer texture and longer durability compared with soybean-based tempeh, which is a distinct advantage. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today.
mataku merasa malu. Semakin dalam ia malu kali ini. Kadang juga ia takut. Tatkala harus berpapasan di tengah pelariannya di malam hari menuju pagi, sedikit cemas, banyak
penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Welcome to Getting Over Bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Selendang Sutra to be sung by the Millennial Keroncong Orchestra, Keroncong Nation. Selendang Sutra is a love-themed song composed by Ismail Marzuki, which was released in 1946. It tells the story of the flames of love, starting with the gift of a silk scarf by a woman who heals a man's arm wound, the recipient of the silk scarf. Well, listener, here is the keroncong song entitled Selendang Sutra, sung by Millennial Keroncong Orchestra, Keroncong Nation. Enjoy!
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safitradala. See you on the next English program.